Hello, everybody, and thank you for checking out Add This to Your List.
What?
That is my best impression at Mickey Mouse, and this is our Disney Plus episode.
Oh my god, I'm so happy you didn't tell us you were gonna do that.
Oh my god, I thought that was your version of, like, Mrs. Doubtfire or something.
I was
like,
so confused.
So somewhere Mr. Disney is turning over in his grave, but... This is Add This to Your List. It is a podcast about all things entertainment. We are three co-hosts. I am Tom Chuba, and I'm joined by my friends and colleagues Fumi Simanu and Mark J. Parker.
What's up,
and
everybody?
Essentially, we just tell you what to add to your list, your ever-growing list of things you need to see in theaters or on TV or on a stage, and what to skip even. And hopefully we make that easier for you, because it's real overwhelming. Guys, do you get overwhelmed at award season? Oh, my God.
I have to tell you, lately, like, over the last year, I've been like, whoa. But right now, I am so overwhelmed by all the content out there.
Yeah,
it's
a lot.
It's crazy. I literally forget, because I have my list going, and it just gets so long that I'm like, all right, let me just start a new show. And then I totally forgot, oh, yeah, I never finished that season of whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
I look forward to the fall finales of shows.
Right, like, so then you can
God.
Take a break.
Oh, yeah. I
can take a break. I can catch up. I'm like, oh, yep. My God.
Boom. I was like, okay, good. This is off up my calendar until January 14th. I was like, yeah. All right.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. How you guys doing? Good?
Good.
Yeah
it's mm-hmm. good. Good weekend. We sold a lot of candles this weekend.
Good.
We've been selling a ton of candles at different shows, and then we were so, like, tired yesterday after selling all day that I realized Greg has never seen The First Wives Club, a 90s classic.
Oh, criminal.
Oh,
right? Gay gasp. So,
yes.
Of course. I mean, how can you not? It's iconic. So, yeah, that was our weekend.
Cool.
How'd you guys do? Where were you selling the candles at?
So this time it was in this town, Katona, but we've been in Rye. This is like candle selling season, everyone. If anyone wants a candle, go to nubblelightcandle.com because we are selling out. But
nice.
Yeah, it's just a ton of like those holiday markets and stuff. So each weekend has been like pretty much, yeah, every weekend. Next weekend for Thanksgiving, this upcoming weekend is our only weekend off, really, because then it just keeps going in December. So
well, I'm glad That's I exciting. Ordered my candles weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Did you get them, Tom?
Oh, yeah. They okay, came real great. Fast. Great. Let him know that. Okay. Go, Greg.
Good.
All right. I'll have to log on and order some.
Oh, yeah. Let us know. Yeah. We got
Do you
all
have, like, vanilla and jasmine? Like,
that is so funny, Flume. Everyone wants vanilla, and we're going to have to make a vanilla scent because we actually don't really have one. We have, like, some baked goods, like, you know, some, like, sea salt sweets and, like, things like that, but we actually don't have vanilla, and you are not the first person to ask that. You're, like, the 25th. So.
Okay, well,
it,
you gotta listen to your consumers.
Yeah, totally.
Customer's always right. All right, well, let's get into our episode. We will do our normal housekeeping and headlines, then we're gonna get into our list, and then we will have a little discussion about what we've checked out on Disney Plus, what we think of the platform, and then we will wrap it up, and y'all can get to eating your turkey and cranberry sauce and whatever else you have on Thanksgiving.
It's already time. I cannot believe it, guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm excited.
Crazy.
All right. I'm going to start with a really quick housekeeping item.
Yeah.
Last episode we talked about, or maybe two episodes ago, we talked about Reboot Mania, and it seems like that's going to continue. Just this week it was announced that both Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Nightmare on Elm Street might be getting some kind of reboot or sequel.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Foom, but Hollywood is not listening to you.
Oh, my God. Actually, I'm not mad at the Freddy Krueger one because I feel like that's been a long time since we've had like that kind of movie.
Isn't that crazy? That not-so-good remake that we've talked about on the show, that was already almost 10 years ago. That
came
that's out,
wild.
Like,
the
April
Connie Britton one, right?
2010, yeah.
Yeah, and that one wasn't even good. So I actually could be excited for like a fresh take on that.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I feel like
I don't really care about that one.
Neither do I.
I feel like the Jessica Biel version was so good.
They just had a Leatherface like prequel movie.
Didn't they?
Just like maybe what, 2 years ago? So I feel like there's always a movie. I don't know.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like Jason, right? Like he never dies and they keep bringing him back.
I honestly, Leatherface, I feel like I know the least about. I don't think he's supernatural, but he sure feels like it. He's always got a chainsaw coming after some girl. All
walking
right.
Slow.
You know, we get it. The South is creepy. We know.
We really know.
We
believe
get it.
Me. I mean, no shade to South by Southwest, though. I'm coming there on press pass. So.
Hey, breaking news, breaking news.
Mark, what housekeeping item did you have? Kind of still in the horror realm.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue. Look at you, lead host of this episode. Very quickly wanted to chat about the new Renfield movie. So if you remember for our Halloween spooky list this year, just a couple weeks ago, the three of us were chatting about our own kind of dream casting, dream remakes of the Universal classic horror movie monsters, right? Dracula, Frankenstein, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So yep. Universal has announced their next movie, or at least one of their next movies, who knows when it will really come out, is all about Renfield. And what's really cool about this is it's a character that you know, you might not know his name, but he's in a lot of the classic Dracula movies. He is the kind of creepy mental patient who can communicate with Dracula. That's kind of it in a nutshell. But so they're doing a movie that apparently will have it'll be dark, but it'll, I guess, have a comedic element to it. So they're leaning in a little bit to the comedy, which I remember, Fumi, during our discussion, you were saying it could be kind of fun to see a comedy element to one of these movies. So yep. I guess Renfield, they're gonna explain more of his story. I guess it's really gonna be him. He is part of the Dracula world, so maybe we'll see Dracula in that movie. But I
now, it won't,
like this.
It won't be tied to the Invisible Man, though, because I know Universal's distributing the Invisible Man.
Yeah, so even though it's all part of that kind of greater kind of world, it seems like these movies will not be connected, because since that Mummy movie with Tom Cruise failed, they don't want to connect them at all. So this will be a standalone, but they are going to slowly bring back these classic characters. So this is kind of maybe a cool way to do a new Dracula. Don't focus on Dracula, focus on this other character who's super unique, and you can probably do a lot with. But, you know, we've seen Dracula how many times, right, people? We get it. You know, so this is a cool...
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I think...
I like the idea of it.
It sounds good. I'm definitely intrigued how that casting will go, because that'll be interesting, you know? So, yeah.
All right, let's transition over to the new news. Fumi, what do you got?
Yeah, so we were talking in our last episode, or maybe it was offline, the three of us were talking about Marvel and...
Offline, yeah.
And, the TV division, even though the movie division is so successful, and they've got the universe and it all, you know, it coexists with one another, the TV version isn't doing as well and really hasn't done as well. And so another one bites the dust. They announced that Marvel's Runaways, which I did have on my list when it first came out. I enjoyed it, but I didn't keep up with it. I never went back and watched it.
Yeah.
After season three, it's over. It's canceled. So Hulu is going to stop airing it.
Now, Foom, do you think, because that was on Hulu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think like it's canceled kind of like those Netflix Marvel shows were canceled because like Disney wants everything on Disney Plus? Or do you think...
No, because Disney owns Hulu.
That's true.
Disney has a majority stake in Hulu. I really think it... Well, what's happening is Kevin Feige is now... He got promoted. So he's now overseeing all of Marvel, right? So before he was just focusing on the film division. Now he's literally overseeing everything. If it's got a Marvel logo attached to it, he's going to have his imprint on it.
Wow.
So what I think they're doing is they realize that for some reason the TV shows don't get an audience, or people don't gravitate towards them the way that they do the film. And there is a reason for that. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but there's a reason why. There's a magic in the film that just gets lost in the shows. So I think what they're doing is they're gonna have Kevin start to have like his take on it, or put his like footprint on it, and redistribute and reproduce the film stuff. And maybe the film and of the TV stuff. And maybe the TV stuff is then going to coincide with the film stuff. I don't know. The way that this man's mind works is crazy. So I don't know what he's going
to
do. Yeah.
Well, my understanding is that the ones that are going to launch on Disney Plus are going to be tied to the film universe. But I don't know.
Certainly seems like it. Yeah. I mean,
so are you excited for those, Fumi, or not really?
I will always check out a show. Like, I'll always check it out and see what's going to happen. If it has a different feel than what their other shows were, I'll be excited and I'll watch. But if it's more or less of the same thing, then probably not.
Mm. Okay.
I have a feeling those Disney Plus shows, when they do come out, they're going to be the real deal. Because they're bringing, I mean, there's like the Loki show, there's the Wanda. Like, they're going to bring these stars to Disney Plus. So
yeah,
I bet it's going to have a budget. Yeah, yeah.
Mark, what do you got?
So my news, I thought this was, when I saw this headline, y'all, I gasped. So Juliette Lewis and Christina Ricci, my 90s queens and still queens of today, are joining Melanie Lynskey. Love that actress. She's done a bunch as well. They're joining her for a Showtime drama, which sounds great. It's going to be produced, and the pilot will be directed by Karen Kusama, who you might not know, but you know some of her movies. She's quickly, well, I shouldn't say quickly. She actually has been around for 20 years, but lately has quickly been finally ascending and doing some big stuff. Last year, she directed Nicole Kidman in Destroyer. She directed a great horror thriller, The Invitation. She directed a long time ago, her first movie, putting Michelle Rodriguez on the map, Girl Fight, if you remember that way back. Anyway, they are all working on this new drama called Yellow Jackets for Showtime. Apparently, the project has been in the works for a year at Showtime, but now it's picking up steam, adding these high-profile actresses. It sounds like they're saying it's described tonally as Big Little Lies meets Lord of the Flies, and that rhymes, and I'm into it. So it's a group of women. Get this. This is the story. It's a high school soccer-playing team. They're wildly talented. They're on this flight to some game, I don't know, something sports related. They crash in the deep Ontario wilderness, and the series will chronicle their descent from this thriving team to warring cannibalistic clans. So it gets dark.
Oh, wow.
They are surviving in the woods, and then you'll see their older adult versions 25 years later grappling with their lives. I guess they survive somehow, and these memories of this terrible plane crash are with them forever, I guess. Or I don't know. Or maybe they'll just live in the woods forever. I don't know. They're being very vague. They're probably figuring it out. But so Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis and Melanie Lynskey will play just some of the adult versions of these high school players. It sounds wild, right? I was like, whoa, cannibalistic Lord of the Flies with women? Okay.
Yeah, I could be into that.
Right?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it sounds dark and wild, so...
It sounds original and interesting.
Totally.
So I'm here for it just for that reason alone.
Totally. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, some great, great women attached. Showtime, you know, love them or hate them, they always do something a little different. So I'm into it. We'll see how that goes. But I guess they'll shoot that soon, and we'll hear if the pilot is picked up. But I feel like with these people attached, it'd be shocking if it's not picked up for at least a limited series or something. So,
well, there are also writers on Narcos and Narcos Mexico, the same women. Who,
yes.
I loved those shows. So.
Oh, yeah. I've never watched, but okay. Yeah.
Oh my God. So good.
Yeah. Some definitely Narcos connections there. So yeah, it sounds great. I'm totally into it. Okay. We'll see.
All right. I will wrap us up with the news segment. Indie Spirit nominations came out this past week as of this recording. Mark and I are always really into those. I think, Fumi, you enjoy the indie spirits too, right? No. She's like,
oh my God. Shade to the indies. All right. Well, some of us support you.
Well. All right. So, you know, no major surprises here. Well, that's not true. But a lot of the names we've been hearing all award season so far have made their stamp on the Indie Spirit Awards. Clemency, that's the film with Alfre Woodard that everyone is saying she may get an Oscar nomination for. She got Best Actress. It got nominated for Best Feature and Screenplay. The Lighthouse, that very divisive film.
Which with, you did not like.
Willem Dafoe. What?
You
yes,
did not
that
like,
I did
right
not
Tom?
Like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson both got nominations. It got a Best Director nom and a Best Cinematography nom. Loose, the film with Octavia Spencer and Naomi Watts that was out over the summer. I saw it. I absolutely loved it. I almost talked about it on the podcast, and then it wasn't doing well at all in theater, so I figured, okay, let me talk about something that's a little more mainstream right now.
Yeah.
But that is an add this to your list. That's nominated for Best Feature, Best Actor. Octavia got a Best Supporting Actress nomination, and the director of that film is nominated. And then finally, another one that had a lot of repeats was Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
That's the Adam Sandler feature. That's nominated for Best Feature, Screenplay, Director, and he himself is nominated for Best Actor. Yeah. I have to say that movie doesn't look interesting to me at all, but anyway.
Interesting. Well, you're not a big Adam Sandler fan, but I loved those filmmakers that did, God, the really good Robert Pattinson movie that I'm blanking on. Good Time.
They're Good really, Time, yes.
Yeah, very gritty filmmakers. And also Marriage Story seems to be all over this award show as well from Netflix.
Well, the biggest surprise for me, though, was that no Scarlett or Adam. Neither of them were nominated for Best Actress or Best Actor. And people talk
just
about
the movie?
Them being shoo-ins.
Yeah, just the movie and not even director, which is really surprising. Noah Baumbach. Yeah, so it's
best. And no Laura Linney either.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, Laura Dern. Excuse me.
Laura Dern. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So out of all the movies you just mentioned, which ones do we think are like front runners? Marriage Story?
I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. I personally feel like Marriage Story seems to be a front runner, but then again, it doesn't have all that many noms, so maybe not. But I mean, looking at Best Feature, The Farewell, which Tom, you've talked about, you really liked with Awkwafina, that also got some noms. But I don't know. I'm just surprised we didn't see much love for Midsommar, actually, because Ari Aster's previous film,
Hereditary, right.
Definitely got some noms last year, some high-profile ones. This year, only one nom. So I wonder if people are just kind of not caring anymore. I thought for sure Florence Pugh would have been nominated for Best Actress, because she really was working hard in Midsommar.
Foom, what surprised you out of these noms?
Nothing, honestly. I mean, I don't really follow the Indie Spirit Awards that much, and so I don't really know in terms of the films that get nominated there what crosses over in like past history to like,
a lot
Oscar
typically
talk,
does.
Oscar
yeah,
run.
Yeah, a lot typically does, because their limit is, I think it has to be, it's a movie with an under $20 million budget, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Hustlers. You're not escaping Hustlers, Foom, unfortunately. Jennifer is there. She'll be there.
And so is the actress, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, the director. She's on the list, too.
Oh, yeah.
Lorraine, is that her name?
Lorraine Scarfaria? Sorry.
Something like that. Yeah, sorry, Lorraine.
So is that pretty much the biggest, like the most high-profile one, aside from Marriage Story, those two?
Probably. I mean...
Yeah, I would say so.
Shia LaBeouf's movie sounds really interesting. Honey Boy.
Oh, Honey Boy?
Yeah, that's got a lot of noms. And Waves by Trey Schultz, who did...
Oh, with Sterling?
Yeah, that's got some noms. But yeah, nothing too high profile other than Hustlers, Marriage Story. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of good little unknown things in here. Oh, Booksmart did get nominated for Best First Feature. And honestly, it might totally win.
Oh, I did love that movie. I just watched it. I really enjoyed it.
It's good, right? I'm actually surprised that didn't score any acting noms. But
Did Olivia get a nomination?
No.
No. Mm-mm. But I think for Best, they do Best First Feature, which she would be nominated for because it was her first, so she probably would receive the award if it wins, you know?
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Grammy nominations came out. But, guys, I got to tell you, when I looked through that list, I barely recognized any names. So I'm either getting really old or music just ain't my thing anymore.
Old
but what
man.
Did you guys think?
Well, let's see.
Well,
I mean, who
yeah,
don't...
Yeah, I mean...
Let's see. For Record of the Year, I'm looking right now. We have same. Billie Eilish, Ariana Grande.
Obviously.
You know
yes.
them.
Yes.
I can't tell you that I've heard a single Billie Eilish song, though.
Oh, you know
I feel
her.
Like you have. You just don't realize you
she's
have.
Good. Like she's funky.
She's really great. And she's so young. She's only 17 or 18 years old.
She does that song like,
her whole family's
I'm a
really
bad
talented.
Guy. Duh, doo, 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 doo.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know. Old Town Road. You know Lil Nas.
Yeah,
Old
that
Town
one
Road.
I know.
And Lizzo.
You know Lizzo?
Yeah.
I know Lizzo, of course.
I actually love... I love that Sunflower song by Post Malone that was in that Spider-Man movie last year. I loved it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Khalid, he's actually my favorite artist right now. I love everything he puts out.
Oh, yeah.
Free Spirit is a really good song. That's my favorite Khalid song, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's so fantastic. So, you know, that's a good... I mean, you know everybody there.
Yeah, but when you start drilling into the other categories...
I don't really know her.
Oh,
yeah,
really
I have no idea
her.
Who H.E.R. was.
And these
it's her. You gotta get into her. She's amazing. She's really talented.
And these best new artists, a lot of them I don't know who they are. But it's so interesting. Lizzo is nominated for Best New Artist, but God, I mean, her music has been around for a long time. I don't understand these Grammy rules.
Well, that's what she says, because she's like, you know, obviously Truth Hurts. She had this song out 2 years ago. Like, it is not new, but now, because people are just discovering it,
that's so weird.
It's considered new.
These rules are so odd to me, because, like, her song Good As Hell was in the end of the Amy Schumer I Feel Pretty movie, yes. which came out a year and a half ago. I mean, like, yes. it's just like, we've heard this before. I mean, she's great. She should win whatever she gets, but it's just weird.
Yeah, I like Lizzo. Are you guys going to check out the Grammys or no?
I always watch because I love the, well, I don't know if they do it so much anymore, but I used to love when they used to mash up different genres and put them together. Like, I still remember when they did Imagine Dragons and, oh my God.
You're right. I know what you're talking about, Foon, but I can't remember who they were with. Was it like someone country?
No, or? it was the, oh my God, this is so bad. Hold on a second. And Kendrick Lamar.
Oh,
when
right,
he did
right.
Kendrick Lamar and Imagine Dragons, like, that was such a powerful performance. And I think they opened the show with that. It was so good.
That
it
was
so,
really
like,
good.
Fantastic. So I love watching the performances for anything with the Grammys. The nominations...
See, the performances bore me of the Grammys. I'm like, get to the awards. Like, let me see who's won. Just tell me who's won. See, make this 2 hours.
Wow,
that's
totally
it.
Totally disagree.
Yeah, I disagree. I've watched it for performances strictly and only because the nominations more and more every year, you really start to realize, as we just mentioned, like, their whole nomination process is a little funky,
wacky,
a little wonky.
And also, yeah. I'm pretty sure the Grammy window of submissions isn't even a full year. I feel like I read that somewhere. Like for example, for film stuff, it's like anything that came out in 2019, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Grammys, I feel like I just read somewhere. I'll look this up as we're talking just to confirm.
They cut it off like halfway.
But like, it's only like a 10-month period. So it's like, wait, what? And like, it's always like the last half of 2018 and the first half of 2019. It's weird. It's like, huh? Yeah. But Taylor did not get as many noms as I would have thought she did. She did get one of the big three.
Yeah, not, best song.
I think it's song.
Lover,
yeah,
think.
Not album.
Yeah, but her album really wasn't that great. I mean, was it?
No, it was half good.
This is not her best album.
Yeah, I guess so. I just, the last few albums, she's gotten like every award. So it's just funny to see. Yeah. I mean, but at least You Need to Calm Down. That good song is up for Best Pop Solo. So, you know, as long as some of those good, clear, like a song with like, that's good, but also has like a meaning, you know, that's nice.
A social impact. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All right. Shall we get into our list?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mark, what you got?
Ooh, me first. Okay, everyone. I got two things this week. First item is the movie that came out earlier this year in the summer. It actually premiered at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year and then was released by Amazon in late August, and now it's available on Amazon Prime. It is the indie film Brittany Runs a Marathon.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Yes. It's
so funny, Mark. My friend literally texted me about this movie last night. She said, hold on, and I quote.
Ooh, uh-oh.
Well, this is her take. Brittany Runs a Marathon is now on Prime, and I don't think anything has ever made me want to change my life quite like this.
Wow. Okay, that is what we call a statement. She just released a statement, and here's my statement. Okay, so Brittany Runs a Marathon. Quickly, before I tell you where it falls on our ranking system, let me just tell you a little bit about it. It stars the very likable Jillian Bell. You might not know her name. You know her face. She's been coming up the last few years. She's very funny, has a lot of heart. This is a really interesting movie because it's very indie in the best way. It's shot very well, but every now and then it's a little grainy. The editing's like, ooh, I guess they didn't get that one shot. Like, but I like that. It feels very real. Like, there was a lot of hard work put into this. And yes, I don't want to spoil anything, but the marathon, the New York Marathon, New York City is a huge part of this movie, and the New York Marathon is part of the movie, and they are there, and that's a pretty cool accomplishment, just because it's such a huge thing to even go through all that red tape that I'm sure the production had to go through, you know, so you are there when you get there. But so Jillian Bell plays Brittany, who is a 28-year-old living in New York City. She has a roommate. She's not really doing great. She's kind of feeling a little overwhelmed in life. She's about to be 30, and she's like, my life is sort of like not exciting. She's overweight. Greg and I, when we were watching, we were trying to figure out, because Jillian Bell, yeah, she's slightly bigger, but she's barely overweight, and her skin didn't look this bad. So I think they actually very carefully had some good makeup, a little bit of prosthetics to kind of, you know, just fill her out a little bit, because she goes to see her doctor, and it's very funny. A lot of good one-liners. She's like, Yelp told me, like, you were really good, so can you prescribe me Adderall? Like, you know, I'm totally fine. I'm healthy. And he's like, actually, you're, like, 50 pounds overweight. You have high blood pressure. You have fatty liver cells. We got to get you healthier. And so that really kind of throws her world because, like I said, she's already kind of feeling a little insecure just about the path of her life. And so she hates her neighbor, played by the hilarious and actually really beautiful, this movie she looks so good, Michaela Watkins, who was years ago on SNL. She's popped up in a lot of TV. She's been on Hulu's Casual. I really like her. Also a supporting actor in the movie is Lil Rel Howery, who we've talked about before. He's great and super likable. Really good cast of actors. But so she hates her neighbor, who's in great shape, always running, but her neighbor kind of helps inspires her to run. And so we are following Brittany's journey, running throughout New York City, trying to be healthy, trying to get her life back together, you know, trying to stop the binge drinking and the late nights and all that. And there's a lot of ups and downs. And what is so good about this movie is that even though it's a comedy, I mean, it gets dark. When she's having her tough days, she is mean to people. She is really down in the depression dumps. It's pretty great. So I say add this to your list. Add Brittany Runs a Marathon to your list. It's flawed. It's definitely flawed. It's a little tonally all over the place every now and then, especially in that third act. In the final act, it felt a lot of critics were mixed about this. If you look it up on Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, a lot of critics were kind of like, you know, they loved it, or they were like, this feels like it's really forcing me to feel. And I kind of get that. Sometimes there's this really sweeping emotional music that I'm like, wait a minute, I'm watching like a quirky dramedy. Like, this is the wrong kind of music, the wrong kind of editing and slow motion. So just keep that in mind. It maybe with a little bit more time, it could have gotten better. But I would say I really, really liked it. And like your friend said, Foom, it really gives you a real perspective on changing your life, and it's quite inspirational, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I'll check it out for sure.
Check it out. I mean, it really shows you the up and downs of, you know, trying to change your body and trying to get a boyfriend. There's a great actor. I'm going to butcher his name. I'm so sorry. Utkarsh Ambudkar. I'm so sorry. But
it's like Utkar Ambudkar or something like that. I think you said it right. He is so funny.
Yeah. How do we know him? Because I recognize
Mindy Kaling's brother on The Mindy Project.
Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. I knew him from somewhere. He's great. He's so great. And it just shows you the crazy New York life, like the different odd jobs you do and how you meet people and who ends up actually becoming in your circle of supporters. And it's not the people you think. There's some really good stuff here. So I recommend it. Check it out. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. At first I was like, like once we were like the first half hour in, I was like, what more is there really to do? Like, I feel like this is like an hour and 20 minute kind of movie, but it takes you places and we get down in the dumps and there are some high highs, low lows. It's a good dramedy. So check it out.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my first item. Second item. I'm surprised we haven't gotten a chance to talk about this on the podcast, but a big buzzy show came out earlier this year, about 2 months ago. I finally got around to checking out the first three episodes of The Politician from Ryan Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
We're finally talking about it. Sorry, everyone. I know you come here for the latest things. Well, you know, we're getting there. Just slow it down.
We be busy.
We're overwhelmed. Okay. But so I wanted to check this out. Of course, it was on my radar and then other things came up. And then since I've been getting some screeners and some ads from SAG for like award stuff and Consider This, I got something about The Politician. I was like, oh, yeah, I really need to check that out. And Foom, I think you watched at least the first episode.
Yeah.
And Tom, did you check this out at all?
No.
Okay. And I've noticed personally in my world, in my circle,
nobody's talking about it.
Not one person is talking about The Politician. So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on there.
Why do we think, well, we'll listen to your review, but then I want to know why do we think nobody cares?
Right. Okay. So my review, very quickly, I'll tell you the story. I'm sure many of you already know. But so the first season is about 8 episodes, all around 45 minutes. And they're pretty fast. Lots of characters. It's a Ryan Murphy show. Basically, think of a better version of Glee, a ton of characters, a ton of colors popping all over the place. It's mostly a high school drama. There's, of course, adults involved, but it takes place at the St. Sebastian High School in Santa Barbara, California. Ooh, la la. And what's his name? Ben Platt from theater, musical theater, Broadway, Dear Evan Hansen. He is the lead. He plays Peyton Hobart, who is running for student body president against this popular, hunky, athletic, good guy, River Barkley, played by a guy I don't know. His name is David Corenswet. I had never seen him before, but I feel like he's perfectly cast. He's like everyone's dream boy. And so something happens in the first episode to River, and it totally rocks this student body president, you know, race. And so his girlfriend, played by Lucy Boynton, who I feel like is another version of Emma Roberts on this show. Like, they look alike, they act alike. I feel like, I know Emma Roberts is one of Ryan Murphy's, like, go-tos, so I feel like she must have been busy and Lucy Boynton jumped in. I don't know. But Lucy is River's girlfriend, Astrid, who jumps into his place. And so now Peyton is running against Astrid for student president. And you just see all the conniving things they're doing to try to, you know, win this race from picking...
Wait, how far did you go? How many episodes?
I've watched the first three.
Oh, okay.
Did you get that far, Foom? Or did...
No, I ended at the first one.
Okay.
You had said something where I was like, wait, what? But then I remembered what happened.
Okay, yeah. I think you probably know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to spoil a thing because I didn't really know much. I mean, the trailer, of course, shows you some things, but I didn't know much. So there's lots of twists and turns, but so it ends up being a big fight to the finish with Peyton and Astrid and all of their teams. They have their campaign managers, their vice presidents, blah, blah, blah. A great cast of adults, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jessica Lange, as we know, steals the show. Every scene she's in, your eyes go right to the TV. You ain't looking anywhere else but her. She's great. Dylan McDermott pops up. Even January Bette Jones. Midler. Bette Midler and Judith Light are in it. I have not seen them yet. They are not in the first three episodes, so I don't know what they are, but when I saw them in the commercials 2 months ago, I was like, oh my God, I obviously have to check the show out if they're in it. So we haven't gotten to them yet. I would say, I actually would say add this to your list. I enjoy it. However, it is not very original. You have seen all of this before, maybe not in this format, in this layout with this combination, but this I would say is equal parts Election from the 90s, totally. 1999. It's totally absolutely Reese Witherspoon in Election. I mean, mm-hmm, it's absolutely that. Plus, I would even say Cruel Intentions, all that conniving, mm-hmm, manipulation, lots of deals behind each other's backs in the world of rich high school. Everyone is rich except for like one or two characters.
Okay, so can I just say something?
Yes.
I bet that's why the show doesn't work.
Yes.
Fumi wants to know why no one cares.
And that's what I was going to say,
because it's about the 1%.
It is about like the 1% of the 1%. It is, I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow plays Ben Platt's mom. They have millions, billions of dollars.
Yeah.
To the point where like they all admit, like the whole family, they've paid to get into different colleges. They have the money to build a college if they want. And I think that's a major turnoff. Here's the thing. It's okay to have obviously rich characters on a show like this, but you got to give us some...
Big Little Lies did it well.
Of course, yeah, but Big Little Lies also
It doesn't throw it in your face that way.
Yes.
It
right. This, I mean, way. Everything...
opulent.
Everyone lives in an opulent palace, mansion, compound, yeah, you know, and there's very little other points of view. If anything, the best characters are those who are not rich because they're the ones giving the sass and the actual real commentary. There's a great actor who is disabled... who has some great one-liners, and he's a supporting role. But so, yeah, I'd say that is what's really turning people off, and it turned me off. It's like, all right, show me the other side of things. Like, I have my housewives. I see how the rich live. Like,
totally.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm good there. Like, show me a little bit of something else.
You know, that's actually a really good observation, Tom. You totally might be right there because, you know, remember when Martin Murphy signed this, what was it? 10-figure deal with Netflix. I mean, it's an exorbitant amount of money. And this is his first show off of it. And people, there was a lot of talk of it coming in, and then it landed, and it was like,
not a peep. So I don't know if this will really get any awards. No one is bad. Nothing about it is bad. It's actually... when I watched the first two episodes, I kept thinking about it. So that's why, well, let me just get into episode three. So I do like it, but you've seen a lot of this before. And there's even, I won't give you too much because it was sort of a surprise to me. There's even a story that is ripped right from the act, right from that true story of Gypsy Lee Blanchard or whatever, of someone who is making their daughter sick, like, and the whole Munchausen by proxy thing. So that felt like I literally just watched that show and it was excellent. So why are we doing that again? So it just feels like a lot of Frankenstein pieces that it's like, I've seen this before, but somehow
you know what it
does still work.
what I didn't like about it, and I got this from the very first episode. One, you're totally right. I've seen everything before. Everything. Two, I knew exactly where the story was going. I could tell you how the last episode's going to be already. And three, it is too much going on. I feel like Ryan Murphy didn't have... He didn't take notes from the network. I don't know if the network was like, we're not going to give you notes. You do whatever the hell you want.
I think that's what happened.
Or he's just like, I'm not listening to you guys. But there is no editing. It is just too much happening. It's like you said, it's like Cruel Intentions meet Election, meets the act, meets, you know,
there's even
every
some
stereotype,
like,
you can imagine with like every rich person, like you said. And it's like, oh, and then even Ben Platt's character, when he's trying to get his like VP or whatever it is, his running mate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like, they even voice how they're trying to hit, like, every stereotype you can imagine to, like, get his running mate person. And that's why they go to, like, the poorer people or the people that are disabled. And it's just like, come on, guys. Like, this is not original. You're not – it's not interesting. There's nothing here that, like, makes me invested or care about any of the characters.
Okay.
So I am kind of like, eh.
I am now invested. I do want to continue it because I am curious how they do it and how – hopefully it'll be a little different than other things. But again, like the adults, like Jessica Lange, I think make it. I think they add a weird additional element to it all. But like, I'm honestly surprised Gwyneth Paltrow even said yes. She's very supporting and she's just sort of there as like this rich woman in these long flowy dresses. I'm like, okay.
I will say though, the one last thing I'll say about the show is that I
did
read.
Let's wrap it up.
Sorry. I did read that the last episode or the second to last episode sets up season two in such a way where people were like, that's what I wanted to watch.
Not the
first eight episodes of whatever it is you gave me. Like what you're setting up for the next season, that's what I want to see.
That's interesting because I did quickly glance through all the episodes, like the list of episodes on IMDb, and IMDb users can rate each one, and the last one has the highest rating, the last episode. So I'll continue with it. Like I said, I think it's an add this to your list, but I wouldn't be surprised if you're kind of like, I can't figure it out. So there you go.
Fumi Girl.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you did too already. We were talking about the politician.
I know. My list is done. I can keep talking, but, you know.
Okay, so the first thing on my list is Dollface. I don't know if you guys had heard about this show or what was going on, but it's on Hulu. And it kind of popped up.
I love that actress.
Yes, Kat Dennings stars. It starred Kat Dennings, Shay Mitchell, Brenda Song, and Esther Pavitsky. It is a 30-minute comedy series about a girl who, Kat Dennings, Jules is her name, her character's name. She's in a relationship for 5 years and typical situation. She just completely, like, dismisses her life prior to her relationship. Her boyfriend becomes her entire life, his family, his friends. She just throws away her girlfriends. He decides after 5 years that he doesn't want her anymore, so he breaks up, and she's like, oh, I have no one now. But it's a comedy. She has, like, these weird hallucinations where she sees, like, cat ladies and, like, you know, she, like, is very not antisocial, but she has social anxiety. And so part of the reason why she lost her friends is because she never liked to go out because it made her very uncomfortable. So she'll always, like, hallucinate or imagine scenarios of what's happening before it actually happens. I'm going to say it's an ad. However, I didn't start out liking the show, but I grew to like the show.
Okay. Interesting.
What wasn't working for me in the beginning was Kat Dennings' character. Even though I like Kat Dennings as an actress, her character was super annoying to me. And I was just like, in 2019, I just felt like, women don't act like this anymore. And her character just was like very like, woe is me. I need friends. I have nobody. And it's like, you know, she was just like annoying, really. Although I loved Brenda Song in the show, and even Shay Mitchell's character was very funny in the show.
She's actually
a really good actress. She's a really good actress. Her character is very, like, you know, she's pretty much homeless, but like in the LA version of not where it's easy to like not be because you can just crash on people's houses or like house it for the rich and dress incredibly well, even though you don't actually have like your own roof over your head. It's like done in a really funny way.
Yeah.
And so when I first started watching, I was like, I watched the first two episodes and then I kind of decided I wasn't going to watch it anymore. But then I went and watched like the last three and then I went back and watched the middle.
Oh,
interesting.
That's one way to do it. Jeez.
Like I said, I was like curious. I wanted to know how it ended and to see if it got better. And it did get better throughout the show.
So then you jumped to the end and then you went back to the middle. And then did you rewatch the end or you're like, no.
Because no, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
Ain't nobody got time to rewatch something.
Totally. I mean, we just said. I like, don't have time. But yeah, so I would say it's an ad. Like I said, it's 30 minutes. I think it was only... or maybe it was a full 10 episodes. It's on Hulu. And Kat Dennings is one of the EPs. She does a really good job on this. And this actually also comes from Margot Robbie's production company. She's one of the EPs as well.
Cool.
So it's good to see Margot, like, you know, taking control of her career and having her own production company and executive producing her own content as well as starring and acting. So it's a good show, and it's brought to you. I think it's written by a woman. I was so excited because the first episode I was like, oh, it's like an all female cast and it's like written by a woman and created by a woman, and you know, Margot Robbie's one of the EPs, and then the first episode was like directed by a man and I was like, wah wah. like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
But it's a good show, so check it out, Dollface, on Hulu. And it's really just, like, one of those shows. It's really about, like, the setup is about a girl and her relationship with a guy, but the show itself is about female friendships. And so the next thing on my list is a little teaser for y'all. The Lesser Thans aren't available to watch it yet, but I got a exclusive opportunity to.
You sure did, girl. Take advantage of it.
The Lesser Thans. Oh my god, cringe.
Is that the deplorables in the 2020 election? Is that the new term? The Lesser Thans?
No, that's totally kidding. But this is a great show. So we have had one of my really good friends on, Davida Scarlett. She is a producer and writer of a lot of stuff on successful shows. And one of the shows that she did is she produced and wrote on is Truth Be Told. It's an upcoming Apple TV Plus show starring Octavia Spencer.
Right.
Yes.
And we were invited to the premiere of the show like a week or two ago. So I went to go see it and saw the first episode. Guys, it is an add to your list. Let me tell you something. Apple TV started off with, you know, a couple select shows, and the morning show was supposed to be like the one that,
right,
you know, wanted to make everybody watch it. While the morning show has gotten progressively better,
yeah,
and I enjoy the show, I know that it's not everybody's cup of tea. I think Truth Be Told will be the standout on Apple TV.
Wow, cool.
Wow,
it is
awesome.
So good.
Go
so
Davida.
Octavia Spencer plays a journalist who really her career like took off based off of a murder that she ended up writing articles about, became a hugely successful author. Cut to 20 years later, and Aaron Paul is also starring. So Aaron Paul is her kind of like her co-star with us. Cut to 20 years later, something happens, and she discovers that maybe she was wrong, and this person didn't commit this crime. So she creates a podcast.
Hey.
So she creates a podcast to reel people back into the original story and to say, I might have been wrong. I might have built my entire career off of something that I willingly will admit I'm going to go back and relook at the evidence. And so each episode is kind of like a twofold. So we watch her in her journey to discover what's happening, and we also listen to her talk to her audience.
Cool.
It's very dark. It's very much a drama. It like the show itself was dark. I don't know if we're gonna lighten it up a little bit, but I just mean like sometimes it's like hard to see.
Like lighting wise, okay. Okay. Huh.
You know? But it was done so well. Like Octavia Spencer, she is a beast. Like
she is
acting her ass off, producing her ass off.
Make sure you watch Loose, Fumi.
I'm gonna check it out. Mm-hmm. I also have to give big ups to Hello Sunshine because they also are the production company behind this.
Okay.
And
Reese produced this.
Yes. Like they are. Like savages with what they're doing with the industry right now. They are just, Reese has her hands in everything. She's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So add it to your list. I really think you both would really enjoy this show.
Oh,
this is the type of
wait.
Show that you guys would both be like, whoa, like this is something that I want to watch. I want to see how this unfolds. Aaron Paul does a fantastic job in this show.
Nice.
He's a prisoner who's spending his life in prison, who entered prison at a very young age. And to watch his character, especially because I'm a huge fan from him in Breaking Bad, and to see him in this like kind of a scary way, it was really interesting to watch.
I'm getting Mindhunter vibes from the way you're describing this.
No, it's not even, well, I could say production-wise, maybe Mindhunter is, I can see the resemblance there. But storytelling-wise, it's not like it at all. It's a drama. Is it a narrative thriller at all? It's a thriller. It's a drama thriller. It's a narrative. Like, you're going to watch the show because you want to know if Octavia was right or was she wrong? And is an innocent man behind prison? And if he didn't do it, who did? Like, who committed this horrific murder? Lizzie Kaplan also stars in this. Yeah. Elizabeth Perkins stars in this as Aaron Paul's mother.
Cool.
It's a really good show. And in the first episode, there's something happened that Octavia Spencer's character does to Aaron Paul that she promises Elizabeth Perkins' character that she wouldn't do, that people in, like, the audience were like, like, you, it was an audible, like, gasp from everybody. It was like, you're a bitch. Like, you are foul. But it was done in such a really kind of, like, dramatic way where she was kind of like, checkmate, bitch, you know?
That's awesome.
So check it out. Truth be told.
Did DeVita write every episode or how does it work?
No. Just a few? She's a producer on it, so she writes. I mean, I'm not in the writer's room, so I don't know how they decide who writes what episodes, but she told me that she wrote the fourth episode and maybe one other one.
That's awesome. Okay. Go to Vita. Yeah. How exciting. Yeah. Can't wait to watch.
All right. I will wrap us up. I've only got one list item this week because I was traveling all last week and very busy in those travels. I'm going to talk about A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, guys. That is the movie that has been buzzing since Toronto. Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers. Matthew Reese plays a reporter who gets assigned to cover Mr. Rogers and kind of delve into why and whether or not he really is one of America's heroes. The story is, it's a true story. It was an Esquire magazine story that came out and was a huge success in 1988. And so the movie basically just chronicles that whole situation, that whole scenario, that whole interaction, and how the journalist kind of lets go of some of his own anger issues and insecurities in getting to know Mr. Rogers better for this feature. It is directed by Marielle Heller, who did last year's popular hit Can You Ever Forgive Me with Melissa McCarthy. Okay, so I'm going to say, guys, it's an add this to your list, but it is probably a one and done.
What? Oh,
okay.
It's a good movie, but you'll remember I didn't love Can You Ever Forgive Me, so maybe my issue is really with the director.
Right? I love that movie.
I loved it, too.
Loved it.
It's a good movie. It's not a great movie. Okay. Tom Hanks definitely embodies Mr. Rogers. He doesn't look a lot like him, I've come to realize, because I was looking at some images of Mr. Rogers this morning. He doesn't really resemble him a lot, but he gets his cadence down. Like, in the movie opens with him singing It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is the opening of Mr. Rogers' show.
Right.
And he nails that to a T. And he gets his speech patterns down and everything. He doesn't change his voice. If you close your eyes, you definitely are aware that you're listening to Tom Hanks, not Mr. Rogers. Mm. But that's fine, because like I said, he gets other aspects about him down. What I didn't like about the story, two things. I wanted to know a lot more about Mr. Rogers' life himself. I think if we were going to put that character on screen, it should have been a biopic, not a story.
Did you not watch the
I have not seen the documentary.
I haven't
no.
either.
Oh, you should watch the documentary.
Do you get more insight into what makes Mr. Rogers tick and all that from that documentary?
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously we watched that show growing up. I mean,
right,
we all are familiar with it. But watching that documentary, because, you know, I guess, like, we're so jaded, you kind of think he couldn't have been that nice or couldn't have been that
exactly.
good of a person. But he really was. He was, like, okay. a saint. And so that documentary does a really good job of showcasing that. I do think that what I think why you like the movie, but you think it's kind of like a one and done, is because a lot of people may make the assumption that A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is about Mr. Rogers' life and, like, his
and it's
background.
Not.
But
right.
it's not. It's more of a narrative about, like,
the reporter
growing up and – but kind of being like fickle and cynical, right? As an adult.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Matthew Reese's character is very jaded. He's traditionally an investigative reporter, and so when his editor assigns him this piece, he's like, what? This is fluff. I don't want to do this, you know? So he approaches it from a very jaded standpoint. He does not have a good relationship with his father at all, who's played by Chris Cooper, who does very well in the role. So the first issue I had was, again, I wanted to know a little bit more about what makes Mr. Rogers tick, what, you know, his own upbringing, what made him get into this field, and was he a psychologist or was he just a TV personality? Because he's very good at being a therapist for people who have issues and getting them to talk through it. Second issue I have, Susan Kelechi Watson has a little bit of an issue. She has made the character of Beth Pearson on This Is Us such an iconic role and such an iconic character that anytime she's going to play a wife now, you're going to see Beth Pearson, not the character in the movie that she's currently starring in. Nothing against Susan. Susan is a fantastic actress. I'm actually mad that she doesn't get Emmy nominations because she is incredible
on
This Is Us.
So good.
But she needs to do, I think in order to not get herself typecast, she needs to do like an erotic thriller or something very, very dark so that people don't just see her as Beth Pearson. I had a really hard time seeing her as Matthew Reese's character's wife versus as her character on This Is Us. So maybe that kind of took me out of it a little bit.
Is she really that
yeah, she's got a very big part
in the movie?
Yep, okay. Definitely. Yep. So that, in short, is A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Again, very good. You know what's interesting? And Marielle Heller did this with Can You Ever Forgive Me Too, and I don't know that I like it. The film looks very ugly because she shoots it as if it were a 1988 film. And she kind of did that with Can You Ever Forgive Me as well.
Yeah.
It had an early 90s look to
it. It's kind
it.
Of a little gray. Yeah.
Gray and gritty. And yes. So that, to me, was also really interesting because I think with a story like Mr. Rogers, you could have done things with really vibrant colors, right? Shoot it in a way that everything is so vibrant and clear and crisp. That's her style, and to each his own. So, yeah, that's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Hmm. Cool. But what about Matthew Reese? What did you?
Oh, he's fantastic. He's really, really good.
Okay,
nice.
I'm excited for the movie.
Speaking of Matthew Reese, I had no idea Carrie Russell's in the new Star Wars. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
I did not
know that. Yeah, so I guess I have to watch.
So that's our list. I would say it's a mixed list this week. We had a lot of things that we liked but don't love, right? So they were all ads.
Yeah, all ads.
Mark edited Britney Runs a Marathon, which is now available on Amazon Prime. He added The Politician on Netflix, but said, you know, he doesn't love it, and he can understand why some people are struggling with it. Fumi added Dollface, again, a show that she didn't love in the beginning, but she stuck it out. That's also on Hulu. And Truth Be Told is, well, she loved that one. That is the upcoming Apple Plus show with Octavia Spencer. When does that premiere, guys?
December 5th.
Very soon.
And then I gave Add This to Your List to A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. But again, I liked it more like a one and done than something that I would say is a resounding ad.
Right. Okay.
So, that's our list this week. Now, let's turn it over to Disney Plus.
All right, now are you going to put your Mickey voice back on?
No, let's turn it over to Disney Plus. Hopefully we don't get copyright issue for that, because I sound just like Mickey, you know?
Oh, you do?
You didn't know, girl? All right, so much like Apple Plus, we each checked out one, or I think, Mark, you watched two shows, right, on the platform? we each checked out at least one piece of content on the streamer, and we're going to let you know what we think. Fumi, why don't you start?
All right. Well, actually, before we get into it, I just have to go back and say that it actually premieres December 6th, not the 5th or whatever I said. December 6th, truth be told. Okay, so I picked Noel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On Disney
Plus. Get it right.
I know, right? and it was good.
Oh,
it's okay. Like, you know, a typical holiday movie. There's really nothing, like, they're not rewriting the formula here in any way, shape, or form. It stars Anna Kendrick. She is her typical role
bubbly
that
self,
she plays in all
wait,
of
overly
her
bubbly.
Movies.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I thought Tom said something else. I was like, what? Okay.
It also stars Bill Hader, who I guess is growing on me.
Oh, good.
I can't stand him.
I love
even
him.
Even though I didn't initially get it, he is kind of funny.
Kinda?
Yeah, kinda. It also stars Billy Eichner, but he's not really, like, a prominent role in this in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
So essentially, Anna Kendrick plays Noelle. She is the sister of the next in line, Bill Hader, to be Santa. He's not really feeling it. He's not really trying to be Santa. Yeah. And she's all about the jolly goodness of Christmas and making everything well for all the good little girls and boys out in the world. And he takes off and disappears. He says he needs to go on vacation and just never comes back. So the entire movie is her. The typical plot for a holiday movie.
Uh-huh.
So the entire movie is her chasing him down because Christmas Eve is coming and we need Santa Claus to deliver the presents to all the boys and girls. So she goes.
And never does she ever think, well, I can be Santa because I'm a woman and I'm all about women empowerment? Or do you not want to spoil it?
He just literally gave away the plot line.
Oh my God. I haven't watched it yet, guys.
Just kidding. Fumi, I can tell you're having a hard time talking about this. Is it because you don't want to spoil things? Like,
well,
you're struggling through them.
No, I just literally was like
Fumi
trying not to give away.
She started in the last 10 minutes and then went back to the beginning, then jumped to the... She chooses her own adventure. So she's just trying to remember what was the real chronological order.
I was literally trying not to give away what Tom just said. That's literally what I was trying
God,
not to do.
That's funny.
That's hilarious. So, I mean, that's literally the entire plot of the movie, but it's cute. I mean, it ain't no, like, what is it called?
It won't stand the test of time. You won't, like,
rewatch
it.
No, not at all. It's not Home Alone. It's not a classic, but...
It's not even as good as The Santa Claus?
No.
Wow, okay.
Is that with Tim Allen?
Tim Allen,
yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. Yeah, that's a good movie. But you remember the Christmas Chronicles that Netflix did last year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch it, but yeah.
Was that any good? That was so good.
Okay.
But, like, surprisingly really good.
Yeah.
And, like, that I'd watch again.
Okay.
Noel, I'm not watching again.
So it's a one and done. Okay.
Got the message.
But it was cute. I mean, it's definitely, it's one of those movies that the families are going to sit around and watch for the holiday season for sure.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Cute.
Mark, what'd you watch?
So, because you guys watched longer things, I thought, well, let me be fair and let me watch two first episodes of their shows. So, Disney Plus, as we know, had a few... I have to say real quick, they have a few, obviously, new original things, but I, overall, was sort of a little underwhelmed by their original stuff, right? Like, obviously, Mandalorian, which, guys, I sort of put it on for, like, 8 minutes while eating lunch in the background, and I...
People are loving it, though. I'm not a Star Wars person, so I'm not about to watch it.
I knew people would eat this up. It's not really for me, but I thought, you know what? Let me check it out. It's all over Facebook. It's all I see.
Maybe
I'll actually like it.
Baby Yoda.
Oh, guys, I don't even know what happened. I there were, like, people moving around and, like, fighting, and I was like, okay, my lunch is done. I'm turning this off. So, anyway. Not that. But anyway, I watched a couple of other shows. Overall, like I said, a little underwhelmed just at the... I'm like, this is what you wanted to start out with? But two of the shows I watched that I'm glad they exist. The first one, Encore. Encore, if you remember, 2 years ago, around the holidays, around this time, it was a 1 hour, or I think maybe two, I think it was at least 1 hour special on ABC. I think it was originally supposed to be an ABC show, but I guess it did just well enough, and it was perfect for Disney Plus that they said, let's move it there. So I watched Encore, and I watched the first episode of, let me hope I say this correctly, because there are so many goddamn words in this title, High School Musical, The Musical, The Series. Let's go with Encore.
Why do you think they named that? Is that supposed to be funny?
It's supposed to be funny, and I'll tell you exactly. Actually, I'll tell you that right now. So High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, it's meta. It's so it's a scripted show shot like a docu-series. It's like an Office or Parks and Rec, although not nearly as authentic or funny as those shows. It's so obvious that it's like, here's the camera. But so it is supposed to be a real life look at the students that go to the school where the High School Musical movies shot in years ago. So their school is most famous for the three High School Musical movies shooting there. And so at that school, in this fictional school, they are putting on High School the Musical. And so a docu crew is like following them auditioning and rehearsing for this musical, and to see if they can compare to the movies that were famously shot in their school. You got all that? It's complicated.
Yeah, that's real complicated.
It's complicated. Long story short, I will not be continuing with that show. I only watched it because some of my students in my acting classes loved it and raved about it. And I thought, okay, well, let me check it out because maybe it is pretty good and funny and maybe we'll do it in class. It's just not for me. It's just typical, like, that Disney Channel. It's everything's so sweet that it just gives me a headache. So it's not for me.
But that's the brand, so they're on brand.
And that's why I say, you know what? I'm so happy it exists because it's at least something a little different. It's not about princesses in peril. It's like these kids trying to do their best on stage. And there you go. It's just not for me. The thing that is for me, guys, I love Encore so much. Add it to your list. Did you guys check it out yet at all?
No.
Please add it to your list. I loved the special 2 years ago, and I cannot wait to dive into every one of these episodes. It is hosted by Kristen Bell. She appears in the beginning, so she tells you a little bit about what this episode is about, and then she comes in at the end. Encore, for anyone who doesn't know, I can't wait to somehow work on it, whether I work behind the scenes or I get some of my high school peeps back on the stage and we do a reboot of one of our musicals, because the whole point is Kristen Bell and her team go to these high schools and get some of the stars, like the lead actors from 20 years ago, to come back and redo a performance of a show they did. So the first episode is all about Annie at this, I want to say it's like Santiago High School. It's somewhere in California. So you see, you have about 10 people that come back. Someone's now a sheriff. Someone's a warehouse worker. Someone's a stay-at-home mom. Someone's a teacher. And you learn about their lives the last 20 years. And it gets super emotional. Like some people have to deal with health issues. So the girl that played Annie back then in high school moved to New York, tried her best to make it on Broadway, and actually kind of feels embarrassed that she had to move back home and it didn't work out. And she's super in her head trying to be Annie again. And she feels kind of worthless. She feels a little embarrassed that she didn't make it. So it's a great docuseries. It's funny. It's heartfelt. They bring in real Broadway caliber crews to direct them and do it all. So I love it. I love it so much. It's like everyone's second chance to make new memories and kind of relive, I don't want to say their glory days, but even one of the women in the first episode said 1996 was like the highlight of her life. Yikes. So, you know, it's a chance for her to relive that glory from high school. I mean, shit. Can you imagine ever saying that? Oh, my God.
No.
But I just love it. I mean, I had a great time in high school doing theater with my good group of close friends. So, you know, I love it. But, yeah. So I would say add Encore to your list. Probably okay to miss High School Musical, the series.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I checked out Lady and the Tramp. I am a huge fan of the original animated version. That's my mom's favorite Disney movie. So I kind of grew up with her trying to get me to love Lady and the Tramp the way she did. Mm. She was rather successful at that. So they did a live action version of it. And at first I was like, huh, why are they not releasing it in theaters? But it makes total sense. This is perfect for the platform because the story's not grand enough, I'll say, to really put it on the big screen again in a live action format. I'm going to say add this to your list. It was good. I was watching it. Very rarely do I watch something and look at my phone at the same time. I did do that with this, but again, I think it's more because I'm so familiar with the Lady and the Tramp story
yep.
that I didn't need to be like glued to the TV watching every single moment. I thought it was good. Justin Theroux and Tessa Thompson voice Lady and Tramp. I liked that they, you know, that they were kind of expanding and doing mixed races. The lead couple in the movie is now a mixed couple as well, black and white. In the original movie, it was two white people. So I really liked that they updated that for race and ethnicity inclusion. I think they succeeded at Lady and the Tramp much better getting the animals to emote than they did in The Lion King, in my opinion.
Interesting.
That was one of the really negative critiques about The Lion King is that a lot of critics felt like you couldn't gauge the emotion from the characters, and I think they did better with that with Lady and the Tramp.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. They did cut out. Remember we said that we were singing We Are Siamese last episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took it out.
They did take it out. That doesn't work. The cats sing some other idiotic song now.
It's kind of not as good.
Oh, come on. Yeah, it's not as good. But overall, it's very cute. I think children particularly will love it very, very much. It's very sweet. I love how Disney adopted a rescue to play Tramp, and they worked with him over a year to train him to be, to be able to work. Yeah, isn't that great?
Isn't that super, super great? Yeah.
So, yeah, that part I really like. The Cocker Spaniel they picked to play Lady when she's a puppy. Oh, my God. She is so stinking cute. It's not even funny. It was well acted. The people who are there aren't bored. They don't look like they're just trying to get a paycheck by being in a children's movie. They're totally into it. So, yeah, add it to your list. Check it out.
Cute. Nice. What'd you guys...
I think you're going to ask the same question.
Go for it, Foom.
What do you think of Disney Plus, like... overall,
it's not for me.
Now why not, Tom?
It just, a lot of their content seems a little juvenile. Yeah, I guess I don't know,
it's too family oriented. Yeah. The best part about it, I think, is I love that we have access to the old live action movies, mm-hmm. like the original Love Bug, the original Parent Trap, Freaky mm-hmm. Friday. I love that adults can see those things again. And same with like old cartoons that you sort of forgot about when you were a kid on like the Disney Channel, like Darkwing Duck, Gargoyles. Yeah. I love the Little Mermaid TV show. I'm a nerd. So I love that we have access to those things again. I hope they do a good job with the originals because, you know, you can only rewatch old things so many times before you're like, I'm good.
They got to make that platform a little more enticing, too.
It's a little boring, right? Everything mm-hmm. just sort of sits there.
It's a dark navy blue background that just...
To me,
pick a bright color, y'all. Right. Pick a real bright color.
And maybe have things, like, animate when you click on them. When you, like, right? Like, have, like, Kristen Bell, like, wink. Or have, like, Ariel.
Or, like,
hair.
Tinkerbell fly through or something. Totally, right? Yes. With her wand or some shit like that, yeah.
Yeah, it makes me think of Amazon static. Prime that way. Like, it's just very kind of like, meh. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of room for growth. Like, I even think, because obviously Disney Plus does the weekly episodes. So I thought, like, why not, like, each week have some sort of notification, like, when you go in, like, there's a new episode of this, like, even mm-hmm. in the little icon, right? Like, I'm sure they'll figure that out. What did you think, Foom?
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. It's very, very family-oriented. I feel like if I had kids, I would love it.
Yeah.
But I don't. And so I appreciate the classics.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact that I have, like, the out of the vault, like, old school Disney is there, which I love. Like, I think one of the first things I rewatched was, like, The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. So it's like, oh, this is fun and sweet and, like, took me back. As you mentioned, when we first started talking about Disney Plus, I was a little surprised by, like, their original programmings and their originals.
Yeah.
I kind of thought they were going to come out with a little bit more of a bang.
Right. Like, have, like, at least the live-action Aladdin with Will Smith. Like a big movie of this year that, like, it's now, like, it's out, you know?
Totally.
Like, there wasn't really anything like that.
Where is it? Yeah, absolutely. Like, I was waiting. I was hoping the new Spider-Man would be on there, but it's
right.
not.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I love it, of course, for the Marvel movies, but then even all the old Marvel movies aren't there. Like, the entire collection isn't there.
Oh.
So I was a little surprised by that.
And wait, really? What's missing?
There's only 16 Marvel movies.
Oh.
I don't know off the top of my head which ones are missing, but...
Weird.
So I was a little surprised by that. I didn't understand why they weren't all there. And they're not all in order, which is like a little bit of a pet peeve.
Yeah,
mine,
you said you were
like
really frustrated
thing.
With that.
Right, no, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I'm hoping that the slate that they've got upcoming will add more stuff. And, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, I kind of did a little bit of browsing through. And a lot of, some of the movies that are there that you can click on aren't actually available to watch. It says available or coming in like February 2021 or
something. I did notice that about something,
so
yeah.
I thought that was super weird. I was like, well, then why are you here if I can't even watch it for another 2 years? Like, that
wow.
was so
yeah.
weird.
That's super weird, yeah. I guess it's...
I am excited for Love, Simon. I will say
oh,
that.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that one.
I think their originals are only going to get better. Like,
totally.
But I'm glad it's cheap because now that it's here, it's like, okay, yeah, now I understand when Bob Iger said, we actually won't have like a ton of content out the gate. Like, it's going to be a little wobbly. It's going to stay low. It makes a lot of sense now.
Totally does. Like, they're strategically planning and the marketing and the business of it all totally makes sense. And, you know, regardless, they did a really good job of enticing people to, like, want Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy we have it.
Exorbitant amount of subscribers.
Right.
And I'm happy to have it, too.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it. I think it'll get better as the years progress. But, yeah, the layout, the, you know, the first turnout, I was like, okay.
It'll be interesting if more Fox movies are added now that Disney obviously owns, you know, 20th Century Fox, because I saw that like 10 Things I Hate About You was on there and like other random movies. So I guess they'll add more Fox stuff to kind of beef up the content, I assume. You know?
But then why isn't it there now then?
I know. I wonder if it's just like some legal stuff, some like stuff
probably
has to be cleared and then it can go on there. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just saw that Sister Act on there. Hey.
Yes.
Random.
And Sister Act 2 and Never Been Kissed.
Oh, it is? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay, wow. All right, I'm glad we have it.
And I think that's our episode, y'all.
Yep.
And we are going to take a break to stuff our face with turkey. So we will be back in a couple weeks and hopefully a few pounds lighter. But you never know after all those Thanksgiving feasts. And in the meantime... enjoy our recommendations. Please, please, please like us on social. We are on everything. Interact with us. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what we should be watching. Tell us whether or not you disagree or agree with us with what we say. Thanks to Greg, Ali, and Jay for all of their behind-the-scenes support to this podcast. We literally wouldn't be here without them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, right?
That's it. Yeah. That's a wrap.
That's
happy
all we got.
Happy holidays, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
God. Mickey loves you. Bye.